Welcome to Toradi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Sar Malka Reichman. Today we're studying Sefer Shmuel, Perek Yud, where Shmuel Hanavi anoints Shaul as king. Veikach Shmuel tzpach HaShemen, veitzok al rosho, veishakehu. Shmuel Hanavi took the vessel of oil, poured it upon Shaul's head, and kissed him. Vayomer halo ki mishachacha HaShem al nachalato l'nagid. And he said, Hashem has just anointed you as a leader over his nachala, his portion, Am Yisrael. The Gemara Megillah Yudalid tells us of the distinction between those kings that were anointed with the pach shemen, the earthenware vessel of oil, and those who were anointed with the keren, the horn filled with oil. The melachim who were anointed with oil that came from a keren, such as David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, their monarchies endured. However, the Malachim, Shaul and Yehu, who were anointed from the pach, the earthenware vessel, their monarchies did not endure. The Marsha explains this is because the Kli Cheres itself is something that is so fragile, when dropped, it will break. We hear Veishakehu, Shmuel HaNavi kisses Shaul, and Rabbi Yitzchak Levi, who wrote Parshiot B'Sifrei Nevi'im, brings our attention to a mamar in Sichot. Masar Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out that just as when Yaakov Avinu kissed his grandchildren, Menashe and Ephraim, immediately before he blessed them, Vayishak Lahem V'chabek Lahem, thereby he created connection between himself and the grandchildren and gave the bracha through this connection, so too, Shmuel HaNavi, when he kisses Shaul, creates this connection and hands over the leadership to him. Shmuel tells Shaul that upon leaving Shmuel, he is going to encounter three otot, three signs. The first one is he's going to meet two people at Kvurat Rachel. It says, B'Gvul Binyamin. Actually, Kvurat Rachel is in Gvul Yehuda, but we're told that the people were at Kfurat Rachel at the time that Shmuel is talking to Shaul, but later when Shaul encounters the people, they will already be in Gvul Binyamin, Bitzeltzach, and they're going to tell you that the donkeys have been found and now your father is worried about you. From there he will proceed and he's going to get to Elon Tavor and he will see three people who are going up to Hashem in Beit El. One of them is taking three goats, one of them is carrying three loaves of bread, and one carrying a barrel of wine. V'shalu l'cha l'shalom, they're going to greet you. V'natnu l'cha shtei lechem, l'kachta mi'adam, they're going to give you shtei lechem, and you should take it from them. From there, you will proceed to Givat Elokim, that's where the Aaron was. There will be Netzivei Plishtim. Apparently, there were Plishti officers around Eretz Yisrael, even though they were not being oppressed by the Plishtim at the time. And when you get there, you're going to meet a band of Nevi'im. They're going to be coming down from the Bama, and before them, there are going to be Nevel, Tov, Chalil, Kinor. There are going to be people playing on instruments, Vehema Mitznabim. This band of Nevi'im, they are going to be prophesying it. And when you meet them, v'tzalcha alecha ruach Hashem, v'tznabeta imam, the ruach Hashem will flow upon you also. You are going to be menabe as well, v'napachtal ish acher, and you're going to be transformed into a different sort of person. And in fact, the Rambam tells us about a Navi when he receives prophecy, be'etcha tanuach alav, haruach titarev nafsho b'malat ha-malachim ha-nikrim ishim. His soul is going to be tied up to the malachim who are called humans. V'yehafech li'ish acher. He'll be transformed into a different kind of a person. Nevuah is a transformational event, occurrence, process. And when these otot come true, the mefarshim explain, Aseh l'cha asher tinsay yadcha, prepare for malucha. Prepare to be king. After the otot, Shmuel tells Shaul a set of instructions, which will be very important in the upcoming prakim. He tells him, "Be'aradza telefanai ha-Gilgal, go to the Gilgal before me, Then I will come down to you to bring karbanot. Shivat yamim tochel ad bowi alecha. You wait there for 7 days until I arrive. And when I get there, then I'll instruct you what you should do at that point. Then we are told, Shaul turns to leave, and in fact, all of these otot come to pass. We might be left with the question, why did he need otot? Did he not believe Shmuel HaNavi? So perhaps it wasn't about believing Shmuel HaNavi, but it was more about whether he believed in himself. Last parak, we remember that Shaul HaMelech was very surprised by the news that he would be chosen as king. He said, my shevet, it's the smallest shevet, my family, the small youngest family within the shevet. Why are you talking to me about such things like me being a king? So he actually went, and the first oath that he had was, there's a reference to Gvul Binyamin. We said it was even out of place, because Kfuat Rachel is actually not in Gvul Binyamin, it's in Yehuda. So it's reminding him, perhaps, that Binyamin is an important shevet, and especially he gets its greatness, they get their greatness from the fact that they are descendant from Rachel Imenu. There's an allusion to his very important grandmother, Rachel. Then when he goes to Ilon Tavor, and he meets these people who are going up to Beit El to bring Karbanot. And in fact, the author of Parsha Pesivrei HaNeviim points out that Beit El is the very place where Yaakov Avinu received the promise, "U'malachem michalatecha yetzeu," that kings will be descended from him, and this king could only have been Shaul, since Binyamin was the only one who was not yet born at that point. Then comes the fruition of the most important ot, and that is when he joins the Nevi'im and he prophesies. And he receives this nevuah as he was promised. And then we're told that all the people who knew him from yesterday and the day before, they see he prophesies with all of the other nevi'im. What is this all about, that Ben Kish is suddenly receiving a nevuah? Is Shaul also among the nevi'im? And the Malbim points out that they were surprised because there are two necessary prerequisites to receiving nevuah. One of the necessary prerequisites is being born with a natural inclination to nevuah, with character traits or personality traits that would make the person inclined to develop into a certain person who can receive nevuah. He calls that hachana tivi'it. The second prerequisite to receiving nevuah is a person's own preparation for nevuah, their own work on their character, hachana b'chiri'it, the work that he chooses to do, she'asok b'hitbodedut, this person goes and he stays alone to connect to Hashem, prishut, separates himself from those things even which are permitted, tahara, purity, kdusha, v'domehem. It's a personal avoda, personal work on himself, on his own level of Kedusha. And that's what it's referring to. And they say, all the people who knew him yesterday, the day before, they saw him. They saw he was never doing this work. He was not together with the school of Nevi'im who were always preparing to receive Nevuah. On the one hand, on the other hand, he's Ben Kish. His father wasn't a Navi, so they assumed he cannot possibly have the natural disposition to become a Navi. But there's a person there, Vayan Ish, who responds, Vayomer Umi Avihem, who is the father of all the rest of the Nevi'im. Their fathers are not Nevi'im either, pointing out that a person could have a natural inclination towards Nevuah even if their father is not a Navi. After he receives Nevuah, Shaul meets his uncle, who asks what transpired between himself and Shmuel HaNavi. And Shaul tells him that he let him know about where the donkeys are. The pasuk tells us, "Ve'etz dvar hamlucha lo higidlo, asher amar Shmuel." The pasuk points out, by the way, he decidedly did not tell him about the melucha. After that, Shmuel HaNavi brings all of Am Yisrael to the mitzpah to a place where they would gather. The Radak tells us that was a place they would gather where there was the Mizbeach and Beit Tefillah. And Shmuel Hanavi tells them, Hashem saved you from Mitzrayim and all of the other monarchies that oppressed you, all the other nations, and you rejected Hashem. You wanted a king. So now stand before me and bring all your Shvatim here. Shmuel Hanavi proceeds to do a lottery. The first lottery falls on Shevet Binyamin. Then they have to determine the family within Shevet Binyamin from whom the king will come. And in fact, that falls on Mishpachat HaMatri. And then they need to establish who the individual is. And that falls on Shaul ben Kish. In addition to doing the lot, we find out that they also use the Urim Tumim. We will soon see where that is alluded to in the Pasuk in order to find out who the Melech is. As soon as it falls upon Shaul, all heads turn. Vayivakshuhu v'lo nimtza. Everybody looks for him, but behold, they cannot find Shaul. Well, while we have the Urim Tumim here, might as well find out where he is. Vishlu od Bashem. They ask Hashem, where is this person? Vayomer Hashem, hinehu nechba al hakelim. He's hiding el hakelim. So the literal meaning of the text is that he is hiding in the place where everybody keeps their belongings when they all come together, where the kelim are. And Chazal tell us that the kelim were that he hid himself behind the Urim V'Tumim. That was the kli. Meaning, he asked, please ask the Urim V'Tumim also. He hid himself kind of under the hope that perhaps the Urim V'Tumim would not agree with the lottery, or otherwise because he wanted validation in the eyes of the nation so they should see his monarchy came also from the word of Hashem through the Urim V'Tumim. Get Shaul vayigba mikol ha'amishichvo v'mala, and he is clearly higher up than all of the nation from head and shoulders above the rest. Shmuel turns to the nation and he says, "Hari'itam asher bachar bo Hashem? Did you see who Hashem chose? Ki in kamo b'chol ha'am, there's no one like him in all the nation." Am Yisrael becomes enthusiastic. Ve'yariu chol ha'am ve'yomru yechi ha'melech. They blow their truah and they say, long live the king. Shmuel HaNavi then apprises them of the mitzvot regarding a melech, the mishpat ha-melech, writes it in a sefer, puts it before Hashem at the Aron. Everyone goes home, including Shaul. In the last pasuk we hear, Ubnei Blial Amru, Ma Yoshienu Zeh. The less lofty people among the nation said, how can this person help us? How could he save us? Ve'yivizuhu. And they disgraced him. They did not bring him anything. And Shaul remained silent. Let's take a look at a few psukim that all point to Shaul's silence. Remember that when he was speaking to the uncle, it said, he did not tell him, guess what? I just became king. When it came time at the lots, when they drew the lots, to find Shaul. It says, lo nimtza. He's hidden. He cannot be found. And in fact, we're told this was deliberate. Nechba el hakelim. He was hiding himself. And here at the end of the parak, again, we hear that when people disgraced him, they made fun of the fact that he's king and said, how could he save us? Again, he's quiet. Vayhi kamacharish. He does not respond. What is this trait of shtika that we see as a consistent trait within Shaul HaMelech? So the Midrash in Esther Rabbah actually tells us what its source is. In Esther Magedas Moladata, Esther did not reveal her birthplace. We learn from this that Tafsa Shtika Ba'atzma Kerachal Zkenta. She grabbed onto this midah of Shtika, of keeping quiet, just like Rachel Imenu. She Tafsa Pelech Shtika, who grasped the art of shtika when she did not reveal to everybody that it was Leah being brought to the chuppah and she gave over the simanim. We hear about Binyamin's shtika. And before we get to Esther's shtika that we opened with, the next example is Shaul ben Bina. Shaul, the descendant of Rachel, also remains quiet, as it says, it's a devar hamlucha lo higid, about the becoming a king, he did not tell. Interestingly, it does not use the pasuk at the end when people disgrace him and he does not respond, where it actually says that he kept quiet, does not use that as a proof text for the fact that he's quiet, but rather the fact that he does not tell his uncle. So what is this trait of shtika that's being called an art? That seems to be the trait that all, it says in the Medrash, all the great people, Gdolei Zara, all the great descendants of Rachel, caught onto. A person is able to remain quiet and deflect attention away from oneself. It is the surest way to be able to be true to the real inner self. If everything that a person does is for public approval, then one can never be sure whether their actions are an expression of who they are or an expression of the will and values of the people whose favor they attempt to procure. The only way to truly know whose values we're living by and whether we're true to ourselves is by keeping things private, out of public view. The way to protect our inner truth is through tzniut, or shtika. It's a focus on the inner realm rather than on the superficial realm. Malchut is actually the exact opposite of this, or requires perhaps the exact opposite of this. It's all about the public persona. The Melech represents Hashem in that his job is to enforce and execute God's value system among Am Yisrael. It's all about what he projects. The Am relates to Hashem through relating to the Melech. Causing dishonor to the king is a slight against the one that he represents, God forbid. Dishonor to the Melech is dishonor to the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, because after all, he is projecting the value system of Hashem. For the Melech, it's all about that public persona, because that's by the Am seeing who this Melech is and honoring that. They are seeing what the values of Hashem are and honoring him and his Ratzon. Let's carefully follow the various ways that the Shtika of Shaul is going to express itself in the coming Prakim. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.